Hello, folks. This is David Miller, country preacher at large from Arkansas. We invite you now to listen next on Grace Life Radio as Dr. Luke hosts Word for America, where we discuss today's theological topics.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fear...
Sola Scriptura, Sola Christus, Sola Gratia, Sola Fide, and Sola Deo Gloria. Those are the five solas of the Protestant Reformation. And it may sound Greek to most of you, but it's actually Latin, and that is going to be our discussion and topic on today's Word for America. I am Dr. Luke. You are listening to the Word for America program on 90.1 FM WPGT, where we preach grace and truth. As always, what we have joining us today, pastor teacher Brandon Ellickson, Grace Life Church of Lake City, and our congregate Barnabas, Matthew Graham. All right, fellas, so we're going to talk about the five solas today. I just mentioned those, and most people probably weren't able to pick up on what those are, but real quick, Sola Scriptura is...
Scripture alone.
Okay. Sola Christus.
Christ alone.
Sola Gratia.
By grace alone.
Sola Fide.
Faith alone.
And Sola Deo Gloria.
To the glory of God alone.
So these are the alone, and that was the battle cry of the Protestant Reformation. Protestant meaning the Protestants of what? What was that Protestant? What were they protesting way back in the day?
False teaching.
In particular, the Roman Catholic Church's teaching.
They were the battle of the Roman Catholic Church, because they obviously didn't believe in these things, and I'm going to mention as we go down through each one of kind of what the Catholic Church was teaching, and also what the Reformers were saying, and what the sola. So the whole battle was on this alone thing: Scripture alone, grace alone, Christ alone, faith alone. Those types, everything alone, not all of these extracurricular activities that the Catholic Church was teaching and still teaches today. It's still out there, and I guess we can take it as obviously the Reformers were battling the Catholic Church, and some of those Reformers, very prominent, we know about those, you know, some of those guys: Zwingli, John Calvin, Martin Luther was obviously the biggie there,
right.
And those are some of those names. And then as time moved on, some of the later reformers like Jonathan Edwards there, and then you've got there's even some modern day reformers.
Brandon Ellickson.
Brandon Ellickson, are you a modern day reformer, Brandon?
There's plenty of reforming to do.
There's lots of always reforming. Always reforming.
Semper Reformanda.
Semper Reformanda. So let's talk about these five solas and what they actually meant by these. And we've talked about this before, so we won't really stay on this one as much, because we've talked about Sola Scriptura. We did a whole show on that, which those of you who are listening can find that on sermonaudio.com. Look up Grace Life Church of Lake City and then find Word for America and the Sola Scriptura tab. But Sola Scriptura, Scripture alone, which was the biggie. I mean, that is the biggie. We're battling that today, and we did that whole show on that. But that is the biggie. Sola Scriptura, just meaning Scripture alone. And by saying that, you know, we believe that salvation is in Scripture alone, in essence, well, I mean, what are we saying?
Well, we're excluding all other forms of revelation, and we're excluding anything outside of the Word of God that would be necessary for salvation and for life and practice as a Christian as well. You know, one of the things that's amazing about the five solas, and actually the tulip, what has been termed as the five points of Calvinism, mm-hmm. they have a similar pedigree in that these were never meant to be extensive confessions of faith. Rather, these were objection statements to error,
right,
that was already going on.
Right.
And these were certainly things that they faced during that day. But amazingly, especially with the five solas, as well as the tulip as well, these are battles that are still going on and raging all around and inside of our churches in America and around the world. This issue of Sola Scriptura is really the central attribute, mm-hmm. the spirit of the Reformation, as it were. And I say that because sola scriptura is really the basis for all of the other solas. If you take away sola scriptura,
right,
then you have no objective basis to build any other theology upon. So sola scriptura, it is the battle cry of saying that all that we need for faith and practice is found in the Word of God. And anything that comes to us that is not found in the Word of God is highly suspect.
Right. And using the foundation of Scripture alone, there is no ambiguity. You can go right to the source and see what it is. It's not extra revelation from somebody else or something else that can be misinterpreted.
Right. I mean, it's not like Joseph Smith going out into the woods and saying that he's getting these revelations from these personages and the angel of light, and therefore you get the Book of Mormon. It's not like Muhammad going into the cave being choked by the angel Gabriel and spitting out the rubbish that the Quran is.
And you can imagine, I mean, try to put yourself back in church history during this time when these five solas began to emerge. I mean, when you're under the thumb, under the government of the papacy and the Pope, supposedly being infallible and speaking the Word of God, to stand up in that context and say, no, we're just simply going to base our belief and practice on the Word of God alone, you can begin to understand why it was not received so well.
Now, for some of our listeners that don't realize, Martin Luther was the first one that really kind of got the ball rolling, putting his 95 thesis on the door of the church. He was a Catholic priest / monk.
Yeah.
And he was not necessarily trying to overthrow or start a new church. He was just wanting the church to realize that they had gone awry and that these things that they were doing were not biblical.
Right. Well, I mean, in his studies, he obviously had, he was one of the, at that time, obviously people did not have the Word of God. They did not have the Bible for their own reading. He did training as a monk. And going through those studies, he's putting two and two together and saying, wait a minute, the scripture says this, but you're saying this. And that, therefore, his 95 theses, his objections were saying, hey, this is where we need some reforming.
It was amazing. That time in history is one of the unique times where God was really doing a work, because the issue of sola scriptura, it was largely because, I mean, at that point we're coming out and still in some ways, the dark ages, mm-hmm. where the Word of God was just absent from the scene of human history.
Mm-hmm.
But at that point in time, it was clear that God desired, not only in the hearts of men, but God had a desire for Reformation to come to the world. And during that same time, when we have men like Martin Luther rising up and proclaiming the truth that he had the ability and had the availability to get a hold of in the Word of God, we have, you know, William Tyndale actually getting the Word of God out there at the very same time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's amazing to look and see how really God recovered the idea of Scripture alone as being the sole basis for faith and practice.
It's the objective basis. It's the only thing that we have to go to. There's so much extra revelation that we hear today. I mean, recently Creflo Dollar stands up and says that Jesus needs him to have this new G6 jet.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
He to fly to where? I mean, just these false teachers and, you know.
Yeah, I saw that article. I meant to talk to our finance team, because I have to fly coach whenever I go places.
Yeah, good luck with that.
That's just disrespectful.
Yeah, good luck with that. So, but, you know, that's an extreme case. But, I mean, you turn on your television today, and, I mean, these guys are going to say, well, God told me this. Look, if it's not coming from the Scripture, God didn't tell you anything.
Yeah, and if you remove Scripture alone from the equation, I mean, you really don't have the ability or the authority to say, no, you're wrong. I mean, if we don't have an objective truth of the Word of God, then the church really is opened up on every side to allow, and that's what we're seeing today. We have so many churches that have, kicked the Word of God to the side to where now you see all sorts of things coming in. Because if you remove that, I mean, what are you going to say?
PCUSA.
Yeah,
the Presbyterian Church USA, I mean, just recently in the last few days, have officially accepted same-sex marriage.
Right. In redefining marriage.
Hello. Your Bible says something different, PCUSA. Run, folks. Run from the PCUSA. They are heretics. That is completely. And they don't rely on Scripture alone.
Unfortunately, I believe that, like we were talking about earlier, I think there's going to be a fairly large exodus of the people that actually do understand God's Word.
There's some true believers in there that would have to run from that rubbish. Let's go to the next sola. Let's talk about grace and grace alone. You know, the Catholic Church, and of course these were the Protestant Reformation solas, so, but the Catholic Church, you know, taught that we are saved through a combination of God's grace, the merits that we accumulate through penance and good works, and the superfluity of the merits that the saints before us had accumulated. And then the reformers responded with, no, it's not all of these things, it's grace alone. What does that mean? Salvation is by grace alone.
Well,
and that means you would have to use scripture alone.
Yeah.
Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9.
Well, I mean, the thing is, we don't even just say that, you know, it's grace that we are saved. Certainly it is grace that we are saved. It's completely undeserved. But Ephesians 2, the issue there is really that it's not just gracious that God saves you, but it's by grace you have been saved.
Right.
And when you put the emphasis in that, you really remove all human merit from the equation. And ultimately, we'll get to this with another one of the solas here. But when salvation is completely of grace alone, what happens is God will receive ultimate glory at the end of the day. If mankind, as the Roman Catholic Mass teaches, has the ability to work and to do good deeds in such a manner as to earn our salvation, or to even earn some status in heaven, or to earn sainthood, then that man should receive some glory, you know. And I would say that if that was the case, then Roman Catholic theology is correct to pray to the saints and correct to worship them, at least in some degree. The problem is when you go back to the Bible alone, what we find is that that is not the case, and God is a jealous God. He doesn't share his glory with anyone, and therefore he has set up the world, and especially salvation, in such a way that all good things come to us through grace alone, because then at the end of the day, we are left without boasting. And Ephesians chapter 2 actually says that way, that we are saved by grace alone, so that no one can boast.
And they can't boast, and it's not of works.
Sure.
And you know, just to talk about those saints, you know, he's a jealous God, and those saints, in perspective, those saints, folks, and let's include Mary in this, mm-hmm. because obviously the Catholics pray to Mary, and they have all these idols.
I've heard Catholics say very often they don't worship Mary. Not worship her. You got an awful lot of pictures.
A whole lot of pictures, prayers. And the point is that those saints are not omnipotent. They're not all powerful. They're not omnipresent.
Right.
So those prayers that are being prayed, folks, they've never heard a prayer. Mary's never heard a prayer.
Oh,
they're
no.
not omnipresent. They're not omnipotent. It's the Bible is so clear on that.
You know, the amazing thing is, the Protestant view of salvation is certainly all of grace, but even outside of that, we believe that our sanctification process is all of grace as well, that we simply don't have any merit even after salvation by which to add to our status before God, whereas Catholic doctrine really goes awry there. Mm-hmm. You know, recently, just a couple of months ago, I was flying down to South America to one of these countries that was controlled by Spain for many years, and because of that, there's still an extremely strong Catholic influence. And I was sitting next to a gentleman who was literally flying thousands of miles so that he could visit this chapel where someone, I forget his name, the saint's name, but apparently walked through a wall, according to legend, at one point. So he was going to place his hand on that wall and pray for a particular issue and sin in his life that he couldn't get away from. You know, and that really goes back to, you know, if you do get rid of a sin in your life, even as a believer, it's going to be the grace of God that does so.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be because you fly 2,000 miles and put your hand on a wall and pray to a saint somewhere.
Absolutely.
No, it's all of grace,
and Christ,
from beginning to end.
And Christ alone.
Absolutely.
I mean, the rest is not coming in Christ. The rest is coming on some act of work that he was attempting to do. So let's go on and let's talk about the next sola and talk about sola fide, that salvation is justified by faith alone. You know, the Catholic Church taught that we are justified by faith and the works that we produce, which the righteousness that God infuses in us through faith brings about. Now, the reformers responded saying, no, we are justified by faith alone, which lays hold of the alien righteousness of Christ that God freely credits to the account of those who believe in Him. So let's talk about that a little bit. That salvation is in faith alone. It's not of Ephesians 2:8-9. It's not of works. It's not works based. Human nature is, give me something to do. Let me check a box off. Let me run down to the front of the church into that magic spot. Let me repeat some words. Give me something to do so that I can say, well, you know what? I did that. The problem is that the scripture says that's not faith. That's works based.
Yeah, because then, like Brandon was saying, then the person would get some sort of credit and some sort of, it would have been part of their doing, where it's actually only by the Lord. And actually, by faith alone almost goes along with the grace alone, to where they almost go hand in hand.
Correct.
Yeah, and if you're not careful, you can actually turn this faith alone into another work.
I was going to bring that up.
And there's a very fine distinction there, because when we say that you are saved by faith alone, we're not saying that it is your faith that saves you. No, Jesus Christ saves you. You're not saved by anything apart from Him and His person. However, what we mean by faith alone is not so much your action of faith. It's a casting off of everything that you're holding on to, trusting in His merit alone in order to save you. As I don't remember if it was you or Matthew read, it's trusting in an alien righteousness. Mm-hmm. Well, when you trust in an alien righteousness that is not your own, what you are doing is placing everything back to that grace outside of your hands, and you are simply believing by faith that if this sacrifice that Jesus Christ has made does not save me, there is nothing else that I can do.
Correct.
There's nowhere else that I can look for salvation. Faith is not so much an action of doing something as it is a letting go and simply not doing anything.
Right. And two, again, and I keep referencing Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9, which is, you know, pretty much kind of goes along with the five solas here. But faith is also, it's not something you can muster up on your own. It's a gift from God.
Certainly.
And it has to be given. And it's not given to all. And if it was given to all, everyone could exercise that faith and therefore be saved. Then I think, you know, all believers and all professing Christians across the board are going to say, well, everybody in the world's not saved.
Yeah.
They're going to have that argument about, well, they do it on their own, or it's God who does it. But the battle cry is that it comes from God. It's a gift from God, and that's where the faith comes from.
And it's huge, especially in our day, because there are people that say, well, in faith also, before I get there, faith must have an object. Faith is only as good as the object that you place something in. If you jump out of the plane with a backpack on, no matter how many times you pull on the strap, it's not going to save you.
Right.
You may believe that backpack's a parachute, but if it's not, you're going to hit the ground.
Yep.
There's a lot of people that, well, as long as you have faith and believe in something.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the anthem of postmodernity, is you just have to place your faith in something. In fact, it's also the cry of AA. You just have to have a higher power of some sort.
Yeah.
But in fact, when we say that we are justified by faith alone, that faith must find its resting place in Christ alone.
Yeah, that's one of those things too. It's kind of a, you know, kind of a pet peeve. You know, I hear people say, "Well, you just gotta have faith." Wait,
in what?
Faith in what?
Right.
Faith in whom? You know, it's such a generic statement. I mean, there's obviously a lot of merit in it when it comes to it, when it's truly biblical. But you know, postmodernity, United States of America. That is such a generic statement. Well, you just gotta have faith. I mean, that's so Joel Osteen-ish. That's something that's gonna, you know, come from Lakewood, and you're like, what does that mean?
Yeah, it's not it's an attempt to take the offense out of part of the gospel. Certainly, part of the gospel is believe and have faith. But it's believe and have faith in Christ. And when you add Christ to the equation, then the world is not so warm and fuzzy.
Exactly.
Well, you know what? You actually made an excellent point. It has to be Christ. Because not only have faith, you'll have somebody just say, God.
Yeah.
And God without Christ, you know, in reference to Christ, is nothing, because there's many gods that people have faith
exactly.
in.
And it's a way to remove it. It's just kind of the detour. But it's so superficial. There's really not a whole lot from it. Well, let's talk about this Christ. I mean, that was one of the battle cries too. You know, the sola Christus, in Christ alone. That salvation is in Him alone. And that's getting very, very specific, you know, as well. So the Catholic Church, again, these were the five solas against, you know, the Protestant Reformation against the Catholic Church. They said the Catholic Church taught that we are saved by the merits of Christ and the saints, and that we approach God through Christ, the saints, and Mary, who all pray and intercede for us. And that's what they teach, that the saints pray, intercede for us, Mary prays, intercedes for us. But the Reformers responded saying, no, we are saved by the merits of Jesus Christ alone, and we come to God through Jesus Christ alone. Jesus, John 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, the life. No one can come to the Father but by me, Mary, and the saints. No, it doesn't say that, does it?
What I was going to say, though, is that look at how that is spoken, that the merits of Christ and the saints and Mary, that they all intercede for us. Really, biblically, just strict biblically, who is interceding for us to the Father right now?
Well, the Bible says that there is one God and
one mediator. That's where we're going.
That's what I wanted to
say. But the man, Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Softball.
Now, are you sure it doesn't say the saints and Mary? And
You know, it's interesting that you bring that up. When you read some of the early reformers, this particular battle cry of the solus Christus, it certainly has to do with everything we've been speaking of. But it really was a shot at the jugular of the doctrine of purgatory. Of course, the Roman Catholic doctrine of purgatory teaches that through actions of individuals who are left behind on earth, and through the purchasing and of relics and through veneration, someone can be freed from that state. And through those actions of men who are still on earth, that individual can experience salvation in the future. Martin Luther and the other reformers said no.
Right.
They took a shot at the money bag right there.
Absolutely.
They said no. Salvation, it comes from Christ alone. And if Christ does not save you and you don't put your trust in Christ in this lifetime, no matter the merit of anyone else who is left behind, will do you no good.
Well, right. The thing is that 10 seconds after you leave this life, everybody's going to be proclaiming that Christ is the Lord, because they'll be able to physically see it, and they'll know that they made their decision here that was not correct.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, it's got to be Christ alone. I mean, the Bible is very explicit on it. Jesus Christ himself was very explicit and exclusive on that, but yet the Catholic Church to this day continues to teach that. And it's not just the Catholic Church. I mean, there's other professing Christian type religions that have all of these works based religions. I mean, Seventh Day Adventist or Mormonism, the non-Christian cults, Jehovah's Witnesses, and then even sects of modern what we would think is Orthodox Christianity, completely put in works based. I mean, there's Baptists that put in works based. You have these legalism type of scenarios in different places. Fundamentalist type of situations. So you got to be, Christ alone is that. And then finally, the fifth sola, and we could argue about adding some more, but the reformers didn't. Covering the main basis. But the Catholic Church, they adhered to what Martin Luther called the theology of glory, which was in opposition to the theology of the cross, in which the glory for a sinner's salvation could be attributed partly to Christ, partly to Mary and the saints, and partly to the sinner himself. But the Reformers again responded, no, the only true gospel is that which gives all the glory to God alone, as is taught in the scriptures, to the glory of God alone, soli Deo Gloria. That salvation is in Christ, that is in God alone. It goes to the glory of God alone because it's Christ alone. Because we can't, there's nothing that we, as fallen sinners of humanity, there is nothing that we can add to the cross other than the sin it took, to put Christ there. There's nothing else that we can add to it.
No, we can't add anything. In fact, if you actually think about it, the Creator God, who created everything, what would He actually want with us?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I know myself. I know my inner thoughts and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I can't stand myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So what would He want with me?
You know, and the amazing thing, once again, here, when you begin to read some of the commentary of the early reformers who were alive during this time, they were not only thrusting this idea of glory to God alone to be in the salvation arena, but also they were attacking the Roman Catholic idea that there's certain aspects of a life that are holy and set apart towards God, where there are other parts of the life that are secular in
mm-hmm.
nature. Martin Luther and the other reformers says, no, for the Christian, the entirety of your life is to be lived to the glory of God alone. But the only way that that's possible is through salvation in Christ alone, through faith alone, and basing mm-hmm. your life off of scriptures alone, and right down the list it goes. But ultimately, your salvation is to the glory of God alone. But now, from that time forward, you have a great responsibility to do everything that you do to the glory of God alone.
Absolutely. And that is the five solas of the Reformation: sola scriptura, sola Christus, sola gratia, sola fide, sola Deo gloria. Scripture alone, Christ alone, grace alone, faith alone, to the glory of God alone. Well, as always, that is the interesting topic for us here on Word for America. And we ask you as listeners, if you want to listen to us find our archived messages, you can find us on sermonaudio.com. Look up Grace Life Church of Lake City and find us there. You can follow us on Facebook at Grace Life Radio, and also listen, and also like Dr. Luke Theology Talk as well. Again, we ask you always to be like the Bereans in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, to search the scriptures daily to see if what you're hearing and seeing is from the Lord.
No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man could ever pluck me from His hand. Till He returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. No power of hell, no scheme of man could ever pluck me from His hand. Till He returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Ooh.